Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Let's cross over to our U.S. Bureau Chief Simon Marks, who's on location to get initial reactions. Simon, we ran the gamut there, as Adam was saying, started off with Trump wanting to put Hillary Clinton in prison, perhaps, if he was president, doing an investigation into her emails. It ended, though, with him giving her quite a big compliment about saying how she's not a quitter and how she's a fighter.
Yes, I thought that he got the better of that last question. Hillary Clinton could only think of praising Donald Trump's children at the end of the debate there. The optics at the end of this debate, very similar to the optics at the beginning. Donald Trump managing to steer himself around Hillary Clinton as he headed towards his family and her family coming up onto the stage to join her there as well. Look, this was an extraordinarily uncomfortable 90 minutes for both candidates in which their disdain for one another was absolutely not disguised. And let's just run through some of the high points, if you want to call them that, or perhaps low points of this debate. It began with those questions about the fallout from Donald Trump's video. He denied groping or abusing women, and he immediately tried to turn the discussion to Bill Clinton, saying that he, Donald Trump, had only used words about women, but that Bill Clinton had used actions. Hillary Clinton looked absolutely furious as that onslaught began. She did not rise to the bait. She didn't engage Trump in trying to debate with him her own husband's foibles and infidelities and her reaction to them. But that was a deeply, deeply uncomfortable moment for her. He then went on, as you noted, to say that he believes that if he's elected president, he's going to ask the Attorney General to appoint a special prosecutor to look into the email scandal that has swirled around Hillary Clinton. And at one point he intimated that he thinks she should be in jail. I mean, let's just pause for a moment. That is an astonishing moment in American politics where one presidential candidate is calling for another presidential candidate to be subject to an investigation by a special prosecutor. And it is far from clear that that is Republican Party official policy or that it's a move that has support on Capitol Hill. He was very unhappy with the way the moderators, Martha Raddatz and Anderson Cooper, handled this debate. At one point, he turned to them and said, it's 1-on-3. In other words, it was him against not just Hillary Clinton, but the two of them as well. He made a bit of news on his taxes. He claimed that he had paid hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes. But when asked if he had taken all the deductions that he was entitled to, he said, of course he had. But perhaps the biggest news, he hasn't spoken to Mike Pence, and he doesn't agree with his running mate on the issue of Syria. And there are questions here tonight about the future of Mike Pence as Donald Trump's running mate, given that during the course of this debate, Donald Trump seemed to disavow him.
Okay, Simon, we'll come back to you shortly. Let's take a quick look at what social media has been saying.
All right, let's bring in Simon Marks now, a Washington correspondent who's not in Washington. Sorry about that, Simon. I didn't know you were in St. Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis. Listen, there is going to be massive fallout from that comment that Donald Trump made about not having spoken to Mike Pence for a couple of different reasons. I mean, first of all, at the end of this debate, we actually have no idea what the Republican strategy is as far as Syria is concerned. We've heard over the course of the last week two completely different theories about what should occur. Mike Pence says the United States needs to be ready to attack Syrian government positions if necessary. Donald Trump said here tonight he has not spoken to his vice presidential running mate, but he doesn't agree with him. But he didn't make it very much clearer what he would do in Syria, although very controversially here he expressed admiration up to a point for the activities of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, claiming that Bashar al-Assad is targeting ISIS. There are very few foreign policy analysts back in my more usual stomping ground of Washington who would agree with that. Mike Pence has now tweeted saying that he believes Donald Trump did a good job and saying that he is standing by him. But it's absolutely apparent that the two of them have not spoken since Friday night and that Mike Pence at this point is waiting to see what happens next to Donald Trump's candidacy. And with that in mind, Ari Fleischer, the former White House spokesman who served at the White House under George W. Bush, has just put this on Twitter. Winning candidates don't threaten to put opponents in jail. Presidents don't threaten prosecution of individuals. Trump is wrong on this. That is one senior Republican of many who are assailing Donald Trump for having suggested during the course of this debate that he will appoint a special prosecutor to investigate and possibly jail his opponent. And the phrase banana republic is beginning to trend on Twitter on this side of the Atlantic.
Tell us a bit more about sort of the immediate aftermath of this debate. It's been over for about half an hour or so. There's been time for a reaction down on the floor, I presume, in the spin room as well. What do you get a sense of what's coming out from both sides, particularly with support seemingly from the RNC withdrawing from Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, that's a huge problem for the Trump-Pence campaign. There's absolutely no question about that, because it's not just withdrawing of visible signs of support here. There are not RNC people in that spin room behind me telling reporters that they think Donald Trump did a great job. It's being left entirely to people like Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, who made some pretty unconvincing appearances on Sunday talk shows here today in a bid to try and defend what Donald Trump said in that leaked video tape that emerged on Friday night. So there is not any sense that you've got the party behind him, but also they're pulling money away from him and they're focusing money on what they refer to as the down-ballot candidates. In other words, candidates for the House and Senate. The Republican leadership has largely concluded that Donald Trump cannot possibly win the keys to the White House. The question now is how much damage does he do to their prospects in the U.S. House and Senate? And they have decided at a very high level that that's where they're going to put their resources, their attention, and their money. Hillary Clinton's team and the Democrats, of course, are in that spin room assuring everybody that she won and is serenely confident now about the future that lies ahead. We've just seen Donald Trump on local television here headed to the airport. He is about to leave St. Louis and presumably head back to New York, where we assume he will start to prepare for the third television debate, due to take place in around a week's time in Las Vegas. But at this point, you know, there is open discussion still here in St. Louis about whether Donald Trump survives as this party's presidential candidate.
All right, Simon, thanks very much for that. In fact, on that note,
think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.